Good morning. It is really good to see you this morning. It's great to be together. It's good to see more and more our brethren coming back and just good to be together, I can tell you. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Colossians. We're going to be in Colossians this morning. We're going to start chapter 2, but I titled the lesson, According to Christ. I pray that you're here to listen, and I pray you're going to listen with a heart of faith, because these verses we're going to pass through are absolutely vital for your survival spiritually. You need these. I need these. But I want to begin in Colossians chapter 2. I want you to look with me at verse 9. He begins to explain, and I want you to notice two phrases as we go through here, in Him and with Him. Verse 9 he says, "For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form." In Him, in Jesus. You know what's in Jesus? The fullness of deity. Now you can't get any more full than fullness. All the fullness of deity, all the fullness of Godhead, of the Godhead, is in Jesus. All the essence that God is, all the attributes that God has, all the power is in Jesus. And we need to see and we need to know that. He continues on in verse 10. "And in Him you have been made complete." You've been made complete in Jesus. When we're talking about complete, there's nothing lacking in your life in Jesus. You're not cheated out of anything. You're not inferior to anyone. Everything in Jesus that Jesus has in the fullness of God, and He has made you and me complete. You don't have to worry about that. Sometimes we feel inadequate. That's just because we feel inadequate. That doesn't mean you are. You're complete. He says in verse 10, "And in Him you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority." Not only does a fullness of deity dwell in Jesus, and not only in Jesus have we been receiving of that fullness and made complete, but He is also the head over all rule and authority. Any rule and authority you can find on this earth, He's over it. Now we need to pay close attention to some of these things. But let's keep expanding it. Verse 11. "And in Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." In Him we've been circumcised. Not like we normally would think in human life, but we've been circumcised by Jesus that has removed our flesh. The very thing that we struggle with, the very thing that will cost us our soul is our flesh. And it's been removed by Jesus. It's gone. Now we say, well, I don't understand what that means. Well, you don't have to understand it. You just need to know. You don't have to go after your flesh. More of that in just a moment. Continue on, verse 12. "Having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." Here's how we're in Him. He begins to put us in the context of Jesus. That you and I were buried with Him. You and I were raised with Him through faith. When you came to be baptized, God is looking for one thing from you, your faith. Your faith in Jesus. And having been buried with Him, having been raised with Him, He says, through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. God raised Him from the dead. God worked that out. You know what happened in baptism? We too were raised from the dead. The next verse will tell you that if you want to read it. I'm not going into it. But you and I were made alive. You and I were raised with Jesus. And being raised with Jesus, now that we've been made alive in Christ, you and I have this new position. You and I have this new role, this new life, this new power. Everything of Jesus in the Godhead is in Him, and you've been made of that fullness, and you've been circumcised, and you've got all of these things going for you. Now that you've got this new position, and many times we've gone about in the church so long, time has kind of overtaken us, we forget where we are and who we have and are in relationship to. You and I are in Him. Now, if you're not in Him, none of these things matter to you. But if we're in Him, these are given to us. Something has changed drastically in us because we are with Him, raised with Him. Well, what does that mean? Look back at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See to it. Brethren, every single one of us here this morning has a personal responsibility to the Lord. And that responsibility is, we are not to be taken captive. We were captive. We've been raised. We've been united with Jesus, and now everything Jesus is ours, and we need to make certain that we're not being taken captive to the things we once were captive to. And look at how he describes that. See to it, verse 8, that no one takes you captive through philosophy. You know, a real easy way to teach that is the fact that it's the wisdom of men. It's the wisdom of this world. I mean, it doesn't take much to go to James chapter 3, and you look in James 3 that there are two sources of wisdom. That's all there is. There's a source of the wisdom that comes from God, and it's completely different than what you see in the source from the world. Because the source of wisdom that comes from the world, he says there in James 3, is earthly, it's natural, and it's demonic. You see, when we were enslaved to sin before we came into Jesus, yeah, we were enslaved to the devil and the things he pushed. Don't you be taken captive by man's philosophies. Man has their own ideas how to approach life. How to live life. Don't you be taken captive by that. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceptions. Empty deception. That means there is nothing that it's tied to God. Empty deception is ideas, and it goes along with the philosophies of man's wisdom. They're ideas that people come up with about how to live, about how to do this, about, you know, one thing or of this or another. I remember years back we were in West Virginia, and they had a little field down in a hollow down there below us, and they were wanting to plant, we were wanting to plant some potatoes So we bought the potatoes, went and cut the eyes out, plowed the field down there, and we were just going through, just putting them in the ground. No clue we were going to have several hundred pounds, but we knew we were going to have potatoes. You wouldn't believe the number of farmers around us that came and said, "You're going to get all vine and no potato." Huh? He said, "You planted on the wrong side of the moon." I said, we planted on the wrong side of the moon? Yeah, you're going to get all plant, no potato. None of them showed up when we were digging up the potatoes. And I'm talking, we had thousands and thousands of potatoes. Now, that's some empty deception. That's just an old tale. You and I can get taken captive by things that man comes up with. Now, I'm not saying everything that farmers offer or saying that they're all wet, because some of them know there's things good. But I'm saying we got to see to it we're not taken captive by these empty deception, these ideas that have no foundation of truth in them whatsoever. We don't want to be taken captive by that. A lot of times, things can be told us, and they can affect us in our mental capacity, our intellectual. They can be intellectually fascinating. But they're empty. There's no basis of truth in God in it at all. It's just some idea that someone comes up with and it starts passing through society, and many times people in Christ get taken captive by it. Let's keep going. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men. Now, this is where a lot of religious confusion comes in. Tradition of men. Don't get taken captive by what people traditionally say is of God. That too can be empty deception. You and I need to be careful about that. You know, you think of places, 2 Timothy 2:15. I had to think of it for a second. Sorry. 2 Timothy 2:15. Paul writes and he says that you are to hold to the traditions that you heard from us apostles, either by letter or by word, face to face. That's what we're to hold to. That's what we're to adhere to. What they taught us as tradition. When Jesus sent those apostles out into all the world to make disciples of all nations in Matthew 28, one thing He told them after He told them to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, He told them in verse 20, teaching them to observe all I command you. Not the traditions of men and what men bring along. We need to observe what Jesus commands and what Jesus said to observe and the teachings that belong to God. Forget the traditions of men. Then He goes on at the end of verse 8. According to the elementary principles of the world. You on your own need to go back to Galatians chapter 4 and you need to read verses 9 through 11, and there you're going to find some elementary principles of the world. There in particular in the Jewish society, He tells them, you are observing days and months and seasons and years. You're not supposed to be doing that. Elementary principles that everybody likes to go after. Don't you be taken captive by all these things. And He adds on to it at the end of verse 8, rather than according to Christ. You and I have been raised with Jesus. We're in Jesus. And in Jesus alone is all the fullness of deity. In Jesus alone, we've been made complete. We're not missing anything. In Jesus alone, that we have Him as the head over all authority and rule. Believe that. Our government does not rule. Jesus rules them. Quit getting so upset and distraught about everything. Let Jesus be who He is, and we need to believe that. He is the head over all. He's circumcised by cutting off our fleshly responses. You see, everything is about Jesus. And we don't need to be looking anywhere else for any more answers. We don't need to be delving into the philosophy of men. We don't need psychology. We don't need all of those things that man comes up with, these ideas, these elementary teachings, these traditions. We don't need any of that. You need to make sure that what you believe in and what you follow and where you go, it is according to Christ. And well, I don't know that much. Well, all the fullness dwells in Him. And if you're in Him, you have access to it. See, we're cheating ourselves out of a lot of things, brethren. We're shortchanging ourselves. And then you hear us within the churches as people talk about things and they share things back and forth. And it's coming right from man. The very people who are enslaved to sin and death. We need to do things according to Christ. Now, how can we be even more certain? Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Look at the very first few words of the verse. He says, therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, I'm just going to stop. I want to ask every one of you this morning a question. Have you been raised with Christ? Do you believe you were raised with Christ when you were baptized into His name? Then that means everything that's in Jesus is in you. If you've been raised with Christ, you and I have the ability to fight our fleshly desires. Romans 8:13, you know what He tells us back there? That if you daily are putting to death the deeds of your body through the Spirit of God, you and I have a way to overcome. It's all provided. Too many times, brethren, we're being overcome. We're being overcome by society. We're being overcome by our circumstances. We're being overcome by the things that are bad that have happened in our life. And those things dwell on us and work in us and we don't seem to get very far. If you've been raised up with Christ, that means there are two things that He's going to point to that are an absolute must. These are essential. And there's no way around it unless you walk away from Jesus. If therefore you have been raised up with Christ, what is the first must? Look at the rest of verse 1. Keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Now, how many times have we read that? How many times are we following that? The number one thing, you've got to keep seeking the things above. That's what we're called to. When the power of God raised us from the dead with Christ, then you need to make a God-given response. You need to do things according to Christ, and in order to get there, you're going to have to start seeking the things above. Why? Because that's where Christ is, and He's seated at the right hand of God. You and I need to seek things where Christ is. We need to be seeking Christ's world. The world of the Lord, the world of Christ, the world of God, the world of the Holy Spirit is completely different than this creation. Why? Because sin marred this creation from the very beginning. It wasn't God's intent that's what's happened on this earth. Sin marred it. Christ came back to restore those who are in Him and are raised with Him. He came back to restore the things that He wanted from the beginning. And so that means if you and I are in Christ, we need to keep seeking things above. It's a constant action so you don't get taken captive by the lesser things. You know, if a person is spiritually dead, they will have absolutely no desire to seek the things above. Spiritually dead people, this doesn't mean anything. Yeah, I know it's in the Bible, but during the week we do our own thing. Listen, you've got to seek things above. You want to get stronger. You want to draw more into the life of Jesus and the life of God and the life of the Spirit. Then you better start seeking things from them and not on the things here. So, it's the only way that you're able to distinguish what is from God and what is from man. You know, years gone by, and I was ignorant to a lot of things of God. I knew Bible, but I had no idea what life was about. You and I have got to seek things above where Christ is seated. He says, at the right hand of God. You know what all this is telling us? Let's make life simple. One source, one direction. That's all we need. Make it simple where you look. And when you find yourself in life and you're confused about things and you're not sure about this and that, where are you going to go get your answer? He's not going to cheat you. The Lord's not. And when you and I can seek one answer, one mindset, you know, or seeking things above, that simplifies everything that we do in life. The second thing we need to do is found in verse 2. This is a must. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Set your mind. You are responsible to fix your mind. Not only do you need to be seeking the things from above, but you need to fix your mind on the things above and not the things that are on the earth. And if you don't do that, what's the benefit of Christ then? Maybe that's why we, church, are so weak, is because, you know, we've been in Jesus for, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, you know, and we've not made a whole lot of progress. Why? If all the fullness dwells in Jesus, and it does, if you and I have been made complete in Jesus, and we are, if you and I understand that Jesus is above all rule and authority and power on this earth, and He is, and if we've been circumcised with a circumcision of Christ cutting our flesh off, and we have, then why in the world would we not want to set our minds on the things above where Christ is and not things on the earth? I'm afraid that many times we're too much in love with things on the earth. Now, I'm not telling you don't take care of things, because in Christ there's a responsibility to take care of things. But when we need answers, when we need help, when we need understanding, you're not going to get it from the earth. You're not going to get it from this world. You're going to get it from Christ. And if you don't allow Him to help, there's nothing He can do. You got to keep seeking things above where Christ is, and you've got to set your mind on those things and not on the things that are on the earth. You know, here someone comes along and, you know, you've got this job and maybe you don't like your job and you got employees that are not to work around. They're not good. You know, and so you start thinking about it. You set your mind on things of the earth, and you look at that job, and the more you look at it, what starts happening within you? I don't like to be around those people. I don't like my job. I don't like my boss. And now you start getting upset. Now, what's the value of that? What's the value of that? Versus when you get over into Colossians 4, he tells us, here's what you need to do if you're employed by somebody. You need to work for the Lord. Do it for the Lord's sake. No, I'm just thinking about how bad everything is. And I start to get upset and I start getting angry. That is not according to Christ. And we need to understand that right here. Sometimes in our marriages we get angry at our mate. And it amazes me how long anger stays with people. They're still, 3 or 4 days later, they're still stewing. What, is that according to Christ? According to Christ is, don't you let the sun go down on your anger. You deal with it now and you deal with it today. Or maybe you're upset with a friend or a friend's upset with you. Yeah, you need to get that thing straightened up and done something about, because set your mind on things above. Seek things with Christ and what He wants. Oh. See, as long as we're not seeking and setting our minds on things above, problems in your mind start growing and festering, and they don't lessen. And now you become part of the problem in society, where you start spilling out all of your information, what you've gained through your personal experiences, to other people, and it may not any of it be according to Christ. But because our minds are there, because the things we're seeking ends up being that. You know, one of the greatest blessings we have on this earth is every first day of the week. We call it the assembly. Many of you call it going to church. This isn't something to go observe like you're sitting at a ball game. This is the assembly of the saints to the name of the Lord. One of the greatest days of the week to find strength and help and to challenge my faith. To help me be a better person at seeking and setting my mind. To teach me to do things according to Christ. Because we as human beings have a tendency to drift away. We need the assembly. We need to worship. God designed it that way. And so you and I need to set our minds and seek things above. We need to set our minds where Christ is. And we need to seek things above, so we're not seeking things on the earth. So you and I can learn to tell the difference what is according to Christ and what's according to the world. Here's the result, verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Think about you. You died. When did you die? Well, we saw back in chapter 2. You died with Christ. You were buried with Him. That old, corrupt, sin-filled, ungodly person was buried. And you were raised now with Christ. New direction, new thought, new things that are going on. That's what you got. And you know what the guarantee is? You died and your life is hidden. Sometimes things come at us and they scare us. Sometimes things can come and intimidate us. If you can only grasp and believe that your life is hidden with Christ in God. It's hidden. There's nothing that can destroy it. And you say, well, people die. They do. Because that's the way God made everything. But it cannot take away the life of Christ. And it cannot take away your eternal destiny. Your life is hidden with Christ and God. And when it's hidden there, look at verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you too also will be revealed with Him in glory. You see, when your life is hidden with Christ, you're secure. And one day, exposed to all the trillions upon, I don't know what even number of people that have lived on this earth, you're going to be revealed. You're my child. Can you imagine what it's going to be like living on this earth with all these people and we look just like an ordinary human, just like everyone else, and then that day comes because we've set our mind, we're seeking things above where Christ is, and then Jesus said, here they are, these are my children. Wow. And you get to sit with me in my glory. You know what? There's a motivation right there just to keep you seeking. That's enough. You want to be revealed with Jesus? You want to not be revealed with Jesus? Well, you just don't seek things above then. You just don't set your mind on things above. And you will not be revealed with Him. You will be revealed with the rest of the world that doesn't care. Oh, you go ahead and follow your traditions. You go ahead and follow those elementary principles. Or you go ahead and follow the world's philosophies and ideas. You go ahead and listen to the empty deception that comes at you. But you know what? That's who you're going to spend eternity with. But for those who do things and seek according to Christ, who set their minds according to Christ, they are revealed with Jesus. And what a glory that'll be. I want to encourage you this morning. You need to seriously think, I need to seriously think about where my mind is set. I need to seriously think, what do I seek on a daily basis? Where am I looking for my answers? See, that's going to reveal everything. And brethren, we need to make it to the end. And we have every aspect of our lives that we need to make it. And Jesus is seeing to it. You weak? No problem. I've made you complete. I've given you my fullness. No problem. You struggle? No problem. Seek me, seek my counsel, He says. I'll give you the advice. I'll tell you what you need to hear. No problem. It's there. It's yours. It's mine. And when we hurt, setting your mind and seeking things above, you know what? Christ says, I'll be there. I'll give you the answers. And then you can rest in the end, knowing that your life is hidden with Christ and God, and when He's revealed, you're going to be revealed too. A glorious day. I encourage you. I pray that this is what you'll do. And I pray that you'll go by and read it and see what He says. The blessings are ours to grasp. They had to be written down for you and I to see the power of it. And I pray it helps. If there's anything we can do this morning